CERT podcast series, Security for Business Leaders. The CERT program is part of the Software Engineering Institute, a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us at CERT.org. Show notes for today's conversation are available at the podcast website. My name is Julia Allen. I'm a senior researcher at CERT, working on operational resilience and software assurance. Today, three of my colleagues and I will be discussing CERT's new Master of Software Assurance curriculum, the need we hope that it satisfies, its content, and how academic institutions can take advantage of it. So let me introduce you to my three colleagues. First up, joining me today is Nancy Mead, who's our fearless leader on the curriculum development team. Welcome back, Nancy. Glad to have you with us.
Hey, Julia. It's great to be with you again.
And Tom Hilburn, our professor emeritus for software engineering at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
This is great. Glad to be back with you guys.
And last but certainly not least, Rick Linger, who is a senior researcher at CERT focusing on next-generation software engineering. It's good to have you on the podcast, Rick.
Thanks, Julia. I'm very happy to be here.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I also participated as a member of the curriculum team, but I'm clearly serving as moderator for today's podcast. So, Tom, I think just to kind of for the benefit of our listeners, why don't we start out with one of the basics, which is, in the scope or the body of the curriculum, how do we define what we mean by software assurance?
Sure, Julia. We did a little study and research about common definitions and so on. And one of the things we looked at was the Committee on National Security Systems. They had a definition. We used that as a basis and extended it, and we came up with this definition. I'll just read it out for you. Application of technologies and processes to achieve a required level of confidence that software system and services functions in an intended manner. They are free from accidental or intentional vulnerabilities. They provide security capabilities appropriate to the threat environment, and they recover from intrusions and failures. That's it.
Okay, and you said we kind of elaborated on some of the, you know, kind of tried and true definitive sources. Can you say a little bit about why we felt we needed a little bit more robust definition?
Well, first of all, this was going out to a large community of people, but the focus, again, was on improving the practice of software assurance. And so we felt we needed to cover some features that weren't fully defined in some of the research we did.
Excellent. So, Nancy, why don't you get us started on the next question, and maybe Rick, at an appropriate point, feel free to join in. So why did we decide to develop, or what is the purpose of this curriculum? And in your experience, as you look across the community, which you've been involved in for many, many years, the education community, why did you feel that we needed to initiate this work?
Well, Julia, as you know, about 5 years ago, we started to work with Department of Homeland Security to improve the way that people were developing software in the first place so that it would be more assured. And to that end, we developed the Build Security in website, which provides advice to practitioners so that they can hopefully develop software that's more secure and assured in the first place. What we realized was we needed to do more than that, and so we wanted to get to folks at an earlier place in the pipeline, probably when they were still involved in the educational process, or maybe coming back to get a master's degree after they had already been out in the field for a while. So it became pretty clear to us that we needed to impact not just practitioners who were in the workforce, but also improve education so that we could get folks with more skills, with more knowledge, to develop the kind of assured software that we would like to see. And that's what really motivated us to do this, in part. The second thing that motivated us was the work that we and others have done in developing curricula for Master of Software Engineering. Again, as you know, we did this work at the SEI about 20 years ago, and then more recently there was a graduate software engineering curriculum model that was developed, and so we thought this would be a good time to jump in and do some curriculum work in the software assurance area so that we could help our colleagues at universities, the faculty members primarily, to provide offerings that were more in tune with our desire to improve the practice of software assurance. And that was pretty much it in terms of the motivation.
Okay, and Rick, I know that you were involved in helping us expand the definition that Tom talked about and trying to tease out and identify the areas of special and unique emphasis in the curriculum. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. There are a number of special and unique areas of study that emerged out of this, and I think that they tend to reflect the realities of today's IT environment. For example, in this program, we certainly emphasize software itself, but we also emphasize services because so much in the way of computing capability is obtained through services in today's world. We emphasize software development, but we also talk a great deal about acquisition because so much software and capability is acquired today through various environments and methods, COTS software and so on, service-oriented computing kinds of things and cloud computing. So acquisition is really a key feature of this program. Computing system security is really a hallmark of this program. But in addition, there's an emphasis on correct functionality of software. And the idea here is that defective software can't be known to be secure. And so the correct functioning of software relates both not only to just to security, but it also relates to the capability of an organization to have the right kinds of computing capabilities and have them be dependable and have confidence in them. So security and correct functionality kind of go hand in hand. Another area that received special emphasis here is what we call software analytics. A great deal of assurance is going to be involved with, as I said, software that's been acquired or obtained in various ways and that wasn't necessarily developed by the organization. And so the ability to analyze software as it comes in and to make sure that it has the right security properties, the right functionality, this is really going to be a key skill. And it's, I think, one of the areas that really strongly distinguishes this master's program from some other programs in, say, software engineering or computer science. And software analytics is involved with technologies that can be applied to help understand and analyze software, perhaps in source form, perhaps in binary form, to make sure that it has the right kinds of properties. Another area of emphasis that emerged is system operations. It's not just enough to field a system that has hopefully the right security properties and capabilities, but you also have to monitor and assess how it's doing in operational use. And so this is another focus area in the program. And then finally, there's a need here to be able to produce auditable evidence of assurance. How do we know that a particular software system has the right security and functionality properties and is going to function properly in operational use? So the ability to produce rigorous evidence of assurance processes and outcomes, we think is going to be very important in this program.
Thanks, Rick, very much. So Nancy, to kind of continue setting the stage, you mentioned obviously the Department of Homeland Security, but who were the principal players both in sponsoring the work, and if you could just let folks know the team members who actually developed the curriculum.
Sure. The sponsor of the work, our primary contact point and promoter of the work is Joe Jarzembeck with Department of Homeland Security, National Cybersecurity Division, and he's been involved in the project, or the set of projects, almost as long as I have. The participants in the development, and actually, if you look at it broadly, we had a wide spectrum. We had the development team, and then we had some outside folks who were involved, including a set of invited reviewers. We had a public review, and then early on we did a survey of a lot of leaders to try to find out what characteristics they were looking for in people who were going to be involved in software assurance in their organizations. So that's kind of the backdrop. We had a whole lot of folks involved. But the primary players included myself, you, of course, and Rick from the SEI, and in addition, Jennifer Kent, who was our editor here at the SEI and did a great job of taking some of our mumblings and turning it into nice-looking prose. In addition, we had Mark Artis with the Stevens Institute of Technology. Mark was one of the original developers of the Master of Software Engineering reference curriculum way back around 1989 and 1990. So he's been involved in this area for a long time. Tom Hilburn, who's on the call with us today, is at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Tom and I worked together quite a bit over the years on software engineering. And with Tom at Embry-Riddle is Andrew Korneski, who has really given us a lot of different perspectives because he's got an interest in control systems and in safety. And so he brought a lot of that perspective into the team. And then finally, Jim McDonald at Monmouth University. Like Tom, Jim was involved in some of the earlier work in software engineering education and training. And so most of these collaborations go back quite a long time.
Excellent. Well, that certainly serves as, I think, thank all of you for providing kind of the background and the motivation. And so let's turn our attention now to digging into the curriculum a little bit, talking about some of its content, some of the courses. And Rick, let me start with you. You had talked about the areas of special emphasis earlier, and I know many of these end up being manifest in some of the courses and sources and knowledge areas that we developed. We considered a wide range of existing material, but could you say a little bit about, kind of touch briefly on, the knowledge areas that the curriculum covers, and just to set the stage, and then I'll be asking Tom to talk about the courses a little bit in a little bit more detail.
Okay, great. The way that this material was organized, it generally fell into two major categories. The first category is assurance process and management, and there are four areas within that that I'll touch briefly on. And the second is assurance product and technology, more of the technical side of things. So this break between kind of a management and process perspective on the one hand and a product and technology focus on the other hand seemed like a kind of a natural partitioning of the subject matter. And as you'll see in a minute here when Tom talks more about the courses, these things map pretty well into the course content. So let me just say a couple of things about the first area, the process and management. The first major topic here is assurance across life cycles. It's very important that we focus on all of the phases of life cycles, from requirements and specifications through design, implementation, testing, evaluation, operational use. All of these activities have assurance components to them, and so we want to make sure that those assurance activities are integrated into each of those life cycle phases in an appropriate way. The second area is risk management, where we want to be concerned about understanding, identifying, classifying risks that information systems are subject to, analyzing potential impacts and consequences, understanding what methods are available for risk mitigation and so forth. So that seemed like a nice encapsulation of that aspect. The third area is assurance management. We want to be concerned about how we make a business case for assurance. I mean, obviously, assurance is something that goes on in parallel with lots of other resource-consuming activities in system development and operation. And so business case is important, cost-benefit models, ROI, and so forth. Another aspect to this is compliance justification. I mean, there are emerging laws and regulations that are affecting how systems must be assured and what their performance needs to be, and so those things are important as well. And then finally, the fourth area in assurance process and management has to do with assessing assurance, and here we talk about how do you measure the level of assurance that you've been able to achieve? What measurement processes and frameworks can be applied to that purpose? We introduce notions of business survivability and the continuity here, and we talk about monitoring systems to ensure that the assurance levels we think we have were actually being obtained. So this
last one, assurance assessment, really does tie back to your earlier comments about auditable evidence, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a key part of it. And those four areas taken together form a package of process and management topics that we think are going to be very important from a kind of a business and organizational perspective. And then the second major area, as I mentioned, assurance product and technology, there are three areas under that. And the first is system security assurance, which, as I mentioned, of course, is an absolute centerpiece of this work. In this area, we're looking at analysis of threats, potential attack methods, techniques for defense. We're looking at how you design standard techniques such as access control and privilege management, authentication, so on and so forth. And we also talk about ethics and integrity in how we deal with security issues in these systems, and how we deal with malicious content and so on. So system security is a key part of this. And then kind of paralleling this from the functional side, another area is system functionality assurance. And this is where we're wanting to make sure that to the maximum extent possible the systems are correct and functioning properly. We look at rigorous methods for requirements and specification, design, verification, testing kinds of activities. And we introduce a topic area that we call assured software analytics, where we talk about how to analyze a software component at a very detailed level. We actually talk about methods to transform programs from spaghetti logic into structured form for improved understandability. We talk about methods of functional analysis to abstract out functional and security properties of software and those kinds of ideas. And then the final area under product and technology is system operational assurance. And this is where we move into questions of how do you monitor system operations, what monitoring technologies are available, How do you evaluate what you're learning from that monitoring? How do you ensure that the levels of assurance that you think you have are actually there and being experienced in system use? And how do you respond to adverse events in operational use? And how do you maintain business survivability? So those three areas comprise the assurance product and technology part of this program.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Rick, for that summary. Much appreciated. So, Tom, of course, you know, it's great to have all these sources that we considered, all this good input chunked out into meaningful knowledge areas, but what makes up a curriculum are courses. So could you just, in the interest of time, we're not going to describe all the courses, but could you talk a little bit about how we kind of evolved going from knowledge areas to courses and how those various content areas are packaged?
Sure. These courses might be seen as the end products of the curriculum activity we went through. There are several components that influence the course. One is we very early on started talking about student outcomes. What do we want our students to be able to do when they finish a master's program in software assurance? Kind of parallel and interactive with that was the development of the knowledge areas that Rick just talked about. And the outcomes and the knowledge areas are very closely related. If you read through the seven outcomes, they add more detail about what we expect students to be able to do in these various areas that Rick just discussed. In addition, we had certain expected knowledge, kind of prerequisite knowledge, in order to achieve the outcomes in the curriculum. We put these together and produced a curriculum architecture that basically consisted of two stems. One would be to create a master's program that is focused on software assurance, kind of what we call it a standalone program. And for that, we described 9 courses, actually 8 courses that covered the body of knowledge. They're very closely related to some of the titles of those courses are very closely related to some of the topics that Rick mentioned. For instance, we have a course in assurance management, one in assurance assessment, operational assurance, system security assurance, a course in software analytics. We also have 3 development courses that kind of go through the life cycle, requirements, architecture, design, construction, testing, that sort of thing. And then to kind of top it off, we have a capstone experience course. That's 9 courses, and that pretty much makes up a master's degree. But we also realized that this is a difficult thing to start a new master's degree from scratch. Add 9 to 10 courses is a difficult thing for many. So we also had kind of a subset of that, 6 courses, that 7 with the capstone, that could become a track in an undergraduate program. And basically, we in some cases merged topics from the 8 courses that covered the body of knowledge, and in some cases, obviously, a master's program in, for instance, software engineering may have existing courses that cover some of the parts of the body of knowledge.
Great. So, Rick, back over to you. Tom had started to talk about student outcomes. I mean, obviously, the whole idea behind this, as Nancy said in her earlier remarks, is to prepare students to really engage in this type of work throughout their professional career. So if you were going to hire someone coming out of this curriculum, what would you expect them to have learned, to be able to demonstrate? What skills would you expect them to have?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We all know that that modern organizations, whether they're in the private side of the economy or in government or whatever, are pretty much software defined and software enabled. Software systems are just so ubiquitous today and so essential to operations. And this curriculum is designed to pull together the kinds of skills and capabilities that a person will need to deal with the security and the quality of those systems in a comprehensive way. In a modern organization, software assurance issues cut across many parts of the organization, many people and processes are involved, and so a graduate of this program needs the capability to function well on the business side of things, to look at management and assessment of assurance and across many people and processes, so that's one reason that we have this focus on the process and management side. But a graduate here is also going to have the capability to get into the technical side of things and to understand system requirements and specifications, how they fit into the needs of the business, and to look at the system artifacts and requirements, specifications, designs, and so on, to assess quality and security there at a technical level. And so I think that the way I look at this, a graduate of this program is going to come into an organization with the kinds of skills to take over all of those what are now pretty much disparate and typically dispersed activities in an organization, and be able to coalesce them and aggregate them into a focal point and take responsibility for software assurance at an organizational level, both in terms of the business side and the technical side.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Tom, the rubber always meets the road in terms of getting started, kind of like going from knowledge areas to courses. Okay, I've got courses I want to teach, but as you said, getting new courses into an existing curriculum and getting certainly a new curriculum at the master's level established in an academic institution is really tough. So, you know, if someone listens to this podcast, reads our reports, learns about the curriculum, and would like to kind of get the ball rolling, what would you recommend as some good first places to start?
Drew, the first thing I'd recommend is that you get a copy of the curriculum document and read it. I mean, that's read through the outcomes, the body of knowledge, the curriculum architecture, and look at the course descriptions. So get familiar with it. Also, I think that might motivate you to say, what are we doing in our curriculum? What could we do differently? First of all, maybe you would like to achieve some of those outcomes in your curriculum if you're a faculty member, and the question is, what are you doing in your existing curriculum that supports that, and what could you change in your curriculum to improve it? If some of those courses could be offered with no prerequisite courses in your current curriculum. There is some prerequisite knowledge. You got to have basic computing and software engineering capabilities and some awareness of security issues. But that would be at the undergraduate level. And with that, we've got several courses that you could choose out of that you could pick any one of those. For instance, Development 1, which has an emphasis on requirement, problem definition requirements, that sort of thing. And there are we don't require any other courses out of the 8 courses that we describe as a prerequisite for that. And there are several others in that area that you could introduce very early into your curriculum. And then the second thing you might consider, if you've got some room, is to create a track. The other part, which is more substantial, is to create a new degree program. If you're interested in that, we certainly would like to offer some help and be glad to interact over that.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. So, Nancy, a couple of questions for you as we come to our close. Clearly, you know, there's a body of work that's been developed here, which is only the beginning of this process of actually getting this new curriculum and some of the new courses out into our academic institutions. So what plans do you have, and what plans does the team have for the future, for the coming year?
Actually, the team has quite a number of plans. When you engage in a large project like this, the first thing that you think of after you've completed the first phase of the project is, well, how will we get this established out in the field. So our focus coming up is going to be on transition. One of the things that Tom mentioned is the fact that you could offer an entire degree program in software assurance, or you could offer it as a specialization, for example, within a software engineering master's degree. One of the things that we want to look at is specializations within other degree programs, and we hope that we will see a specialization within an IT program and perhaps an adaptation of the curriculum work to international degree programs, which look somewhat different from our degree programs here in the U.S. We've had interest from quite a number of folks, both here in the U.S. and internationally, in installing some of the courses and some of the specialization that we've tried to develop within the curricula. Let's see. Our second set of activities are really in the nature of supporting folks who are trying to implement this. We are developing a set of course outlines that are more detailed than the discussion in the curriculum, and we're hoping that that will be a first step toward providing a set of resources. Right now, we're focusing on the basic resources, books and materials and videos and so on, that could be supportive. But long term, we hope to see complete sets of course materials or perhaps even complete courses available to our constituents who are in education. And then longer term, we want to drive this down further, so there will probably be some thinking about what we do at the community college level, perhaps what we do in high schools. One thing that we didn't mention earlier, because it wasn't really germane at that point in time, was that we've also looked at what a set of undergraduate courses in this area might look like if there were a concentration on software assurance. So the current work includes both the Master of Software Assurance curriculum document and also a document that describes undergraduate courses. So those exist, and then we have a whole slew of these future activities to try to engage folks in actually offering courses, specializations, and degree programs. One thing that's going to be really important is outreach, and so we're working on forming a network of educators who are interested in these offerings and going forward trying to provide support and mentoring to them.
Excellent. And certainly, last but not least, where can our listeners learn more about this, find our various reports and resources that we've identified for the curriculum?
Great question. The curriculum documents themselves are available right now in two places. One is on the SEI website as technical reports, but more importantly, on the CERT website. We have the two curriculum documents. Volume 1 is the Master of Software Assurance Reference Curriculum, and then Volume 2 is the undergraduate course outlines that I briefly referred to. In addition, we've got a PowerPoint presentation that's available for download, and that's primarily for raising awareness among faculty.
Great. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for your time today, for pulling our team together to provide this comprehensive description of the curriculum. Sure do appreciate your being here.
Well, it was a pleasure, and as usual, the team did most of the work, and I just sat back and enjoyed it, so that's perfect.
Well, we know that's not true, and Tom, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
And Rick, great to have you on the podcast, and appreciate the comprehensive description. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.